This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Paul Hotchkiss lost his sight overnight and had to put a pause on hobbies and work that mattered to him. But after finding My Sight York and getting a certificate of visual impairment, he's found a new lease on life and has even started VI tennis. He's here today to tell us his story. Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for joining us.
That's lovely to hear from you.
So can you tell us a bit about your life before sight loss?
I've been a very active person. I like doing. I love travelling. I spent the 30 years up until I lost my sight as a freelance, self-employed sales rep selling spectacles around the country, doing about 1,000 miles a week in the car. And that's one of the biggest issues that I've got is that I'm not supposed to drive now. I've used to have fast motorbikes. I had a classic MG that I used to tinker with. And all that, of course, has had to stop. I used to do a lot of skiing and hill walking and you name it. If it was there, I would climb it or sit on it and do whatever I wanted to do. So sight loss has had a huge impact in my life. And I did go through a bit of a period thinking, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh my goodness, this is a pain in the neck. But at the same point, I didn't accept that I had sight loss. That's not me. You see people walking with long canes. No, it's not me. I'm not getting involved with that. In total denial. As for getting a guide dog, you must be joking. That's a big flag to show people that I can't see anything. That's not as invincible as I used to be.
And what happened when you lost your sight?
Everybody's story is different, I'm sure. My sight loss came overnight. August bank holiday. And it's not a good idea to have anything go wrong with you on a bank holiday. August bank holiday, you just can't find a doctor in a hospital. And I didn't know what was going on, but I had lost my sight in my left eye completely. And it's never come back. A doctor gave me a couple of tablets and said, come back next week if it's still the same. And of course it was. They did a lot of jiggery pokery when I went back again a week later because nothing had changed. And they didn't know what it was. They had no clue what was going on. They couldn't see through the eye to find out what was occurring. And then very luckily, one very bright spark ophthalmologist said, oh, it might be shingles. And well, that's exactly what it turned out to be. So they did all they could to stop the disease from progressing. By that time, of course, everything had gone. But it started to move into my right eye as well and start taking away the vision on that. Lots and lots of operations. Had a vitrectomy, had a detached retina in my left eye. The only thing I didn't have, although I got measured up for a glass eye, that's the only thing I didn't have. Everything happened to the left eye. Then the right eye developed, because of the virus that hit me, developed severe glaucoma, and my pressure went up to about 50, 55, but still no pain. I never had any pain in any of these things. Luckily, that occurred when I was in hospital. They put a machine in my eye to regulate the pressure called a Paul tube. And that's a little bit disconcerting. Although I have very little vision in my right eye, the NHS, God bless them, managed to save the little bit that I've got. So that's how I managed to get about. Because this was a new machine, it only got invented a couple of years before they stuck it into me. I was a day patient for a long time in Manchester Royal Eye Hospital. Move forward a couple of years, we decided it was a good idea to get away from where we were. We moved to York. And I was still then traveling back to Manchester Royal Eye Hospital. And as I said to you, I was in total denial. There's something in a group called Henshaws that operate out of Manchester Hospital. And they had a stand there where I could have got a telephone with massive numbers on, which was useless to me. And that wasn't what my eye condition was about. So I didn't really pay much attention to what was going on, but the phrase DVI never came up. That's a certificate of visual impairment. I just didn't know anything about that.
And what kind of difference has My Sight York made to your life?
In 23, I started going regularly every 2 months to York Hospital. And they said, oh, have you got this magic thing, a CVI? And luckily for me, somebody in the hospital works for My Sight, which is the charity for people like me, and she wrote my CVI out for me and sent it through. And my life just exploded. Gone from someone who didn't really like going out very much, didn't really like doing very much because I didn't want to make a fool of myself. So I reluctantly went along to a meeting at my site. They discussed all the things that are available. Do you know you can get a blue badge so you don't pay for parking? Obviously, I don't drive, but my wife does. So that's been unbelievable. And you get a half price TV license, and there's all sorts of benefits that you just don't realise that come when you've got a bit of a disability. My site have been just fantastic for me. The gentle way that they do things. They said, this is what's available. It's not compulsory. You don't have to do it. But I quickly realized that this is a good thing. And so if they want to open an envelope in my site, I'll go to it. We've had trips around the National Railway Museum. I've taken part in forums, workshops. I was photographed getting on and off a bus for a bus advertising campaign. I played tennis. How bonkers is visually impaired tennis? You get a bunch of people just can't see anything, and we try and hit this big fluffy ball with a bell in it across a net. We have ball boys, we have a coach, we've got umpires, and we have the biggest laugh going because none of us can see very well. And it's just so much fun. And quite a lot of my colleagues just live for that. And that's all provided by my site. Can't tell you how brilliant they are. I managed to meet the mayor, which is really cool. I do almost a permanent regular 5-minute slot on York Talking News, where I talk complete codswallop about what I feel like talking about, and they seem to enjoy it. So I just discovered, you know, there is life after sight loss. I was not interested in having a long cane. I just didn't want one. But when you live in York, which is a very busy city, there are people all over the place, you kind of need to make sure that you don't hit them. My site got me in touch with guide dogs. Obviously, I never want to get a guide dog. That's not me. But, you know, okay, we'll have a look at that. And you need to be able to be pretty good with a long cane before they'll let you loose with a guide dog. So they instructed me on that. And if you know York, there's a street in York which is pedestrianised called Coney Street, and it's relatively narrow. And that was where I got my long cane for the first time. And I ran up Coney Street, wanging this stick from side to side. And these girls that were teaching me had to run to catch up with me. It was just brilliant that I knew that if I'm moving quickly, that I'm not going to hit anything, because that's the big concern. You're going to bump into something and hurt yourself. Yes, I've hit a few glass doors in my time, and it blooming well hurts. So it was really good. And I remember walking around a corner, wanging my white stick, and I walked into a guy that was also coming around the corner in the opposite direction, and he was on his phone, I think. And we hit each other. And he went, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't see you. I thought, oh, that's okay, I couldn't see you either. I don't quite know how it happened so quickly, but within 9 months of applying for a guide dog, I got paired up with Rocco, and that's just been astonishing. It somehow or other manages to direct me without me even noticing that we've just moved around a bollard that I otherwise would have hit. So it's just astonishing. So that's been a life-changing thing too. And I just can't thank everybody enough. It's just blooming amazing. They've got this technology department or kit room where they have things. Now, I realize that there's lots of equipment out there that can help, but it's quite expensive. And the wonderful thing about my site is the chances are they've got it there and you can borrow it, and they will lend stuff to you so that you can trial it. Rather than spend £800 on a handheld camera, you can borrow theirs and see if it works. So if it works, great. But if it doesn't, you give it back and you haven't wasted any money. One of my previous hobbies was family tree, family history. And you need to be able to read handwriting from centuries past. And that is quite tricky. I didn't realize how I'd adapted my eyes previously to be able to read it, but I just can't read it now with just the little vision that I've got. So my site lent me this enormous desktop computer screen that I put the census form on and then shine a light onto it, and it shows me in intricate detail what these words are through the screen. And I borrowed that from my site. It's just so good. It's just so lovely.
And thinking back to yourself when you just lost your sight and were feeling like you were missing out on a lot of things that mattered to you, what advice would you give yourself or someone else who is in that position?
I do come across people who were exactly like I was, maybe for a longer period than I was. And I was chatting away to a fellow there and said, you know, what's your condition? What do you do? Oh, I just sit in my flat all day and do nothing. Well, why don't you come along to my site? You come and play tennis with us. You've just got to get up and go. And that's the advice that I would give to people. There are people there that are very keen to help. No criticism, no hassle. They want to help. They're there to help. And they seem to do everything that I could possibly want. You don't have to take the help, but my goodness, it's a lot of fun when you do. So that would be my advice to anybody.
Well, thank you so much, Paul Hotchkiss, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.